Reading Peter's epistle, 1 Peter chapter 5, and verse 1. 1 Peter 5 and verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And God will bless his word to us. Indeed, it's most difficult to stand here and endeavour to follow the ministry which we have been privileged to listen to. No doubt it has searched all our hearts. And we can only pray that his word will mean something to each one of us. And our one exercise will be that our lives will be adjusted in accordance with God's truth. There's the renewing of our mind as we have in Romans 12 and verse 2. And I believe that simply means this, that an adjustment of my thinking to that of God's. I've been enjoying for some time now about the shepherd. And no doubt when we get to the Bible readings on Albert Bridge Road, this great truth will be brought before us. We have in John chapter 10 about the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. We see his work clearly brought before us in Psalm 22. We're reading here about the chief shepherd. We see him portrayed in Psalm 24. And if we were to go to Hebrews chapter 13, we'll see him there as the great shepherd, as we have him in Psalm 23. And no doubt today, there is a tremendous need for men to shepherd and take care of the people of God. Mr. Wells has been mentioned. My first memory of Mr. Wells goes away back to 1953. Just a young man home from Africa. And I can remember that he made the journey from where he lived on London Road over to where I was living at the bottom of Skegness Avenue to pass on fellowship from the assembly. There was a man, we got to know him very well indeed, and one we appreciated very, very much. And I just pass that on to let you see that a man who has that shepherd care for the people of God, it will be seen in his life and walk day by day. Now, we have noticed the work of the Lord in Psalm 22. That great work that took place at Calvary. When he laid down his life for the sheep. Here we have the divine standard set before us. Those who would care for the people of God, and indeed we certainly need shepherding these days. We're living in very difficult days, as we have been hearing. We know too how the assemblies have declined over the years. I can remember well when a 4 o'clock meeting was announced in the Belfast Telegraph. The halls would have been full with brethren and sisters travelling across the city, no cars in those days, just the old red tram car, and the halls were filled just to listen to the ministry of the Word of God. So we have the Good Shepherd. He laid down his life for the sheep, as we have in John 10 and also in Psalm 22. In Psalm 23, we have him there as the great shepherd, the one in resurrection. And you know, when we read Psalm 23, we see the work there of the shepherd. We see how that he leads the flock, and how that the flock is led to the green pastures. Isn't it beautifully written? I am sure of this, that even the world today knows this psalm through and through. They sing it all the time. But so few of them know the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. Few of them know of the great shepherd who was raised from among the dead. And when we think of the psalmist, how that he could speak of him, that one, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." What a tremendous work for the shepherds of today. What a tremendous work. We see here what the shepherd had in his hand. He said, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The rod there is a scepter, the rod of authority. It wasn't a rod to flog and whip the sheep with. And there is a staff, that which the shepherd leaned on. But nowadays, we find different things taking place. I listened to a brother, a Canadian brother, speak once upon shepherds. And he made this statement, and I thought a little hard or difficult to understand at the time, but I understand it fully now. He said, "There are only two classes of people who are interested in the sheep. There is the shepherd and there is the butcher." And you know that is very true. The shepherd, you see the shepherd with the rod or with the staff, and he's leading the sheep into the green pastures beside the still waters. He's burdened to see the sheep fully fed and cared for as they are in the field or wherever they may be. But we know the work of the butcher. His implement is what? It's a knife. And you know, when that knife goes in, they keep pushing it on in until the sheep is dead. You know, these things happen even today. They happen today. We know of brethren, and they have had an exercise to help and look after the people of God. They've had an exercise, they give a ministry to help God's people. And there are those who would be after the character of the man referred to in John's epistle, Diotrephes. What was his work? It certainly wasn't to build up, but it was to pull down. And we must indeed know those who are among us, who are leading the people of God, or should be leading them into the green pastures. So it says here, the psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He says, "I will fear no evil. Even walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You know, isn't it beautiful to see the standard which we have here laid down by the great shepherd himself, and something which the under shepherds of today should read and follow, so that the assemblies will be guided into the right ways of the Lord, and it will see his name honored and glorified. We go to John chapter 21, and we read here something about Peter. "So when they had dined," verse 15, "Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto him, feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto thee, feed my sheep. In other words, shepherd my sheep. Take care of my sheep. You know, here we are, a people of God, and no doubt we need that ministry which we've been listening to this evening. That which enters into our bosoms with authority, the authority of God's word. And I do trust that each one of us will be prepared to accept it and endeavor by his grace to adjust our lives in accordance with it. Peter, feed, shepherd my sheep. So we go to where we read in the first epistle of Peter. And we get here, Peter speaking about himself as an elder. He said, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. What have we got here? We have something very, very important here. And what is that? I believe it to be the spirituality of one who has that place among God's people to care for the sheep. What is that? Here is Peter. He said, I am a witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. What is my attitude toward the great work of Calvary? Yes, we can look back to that day in our lives when by grace we accepted him as our Savior. Wasn't it a wonderful day? Some knew the gospel well, others didn't. But there's one thing so far as I am concerned. I learnt that I was a sinner going down to hell. I learnt that I was under the righteous judgment of a holy God. I learnt too that if I were ever to escape the damnation of hell, there must be a turning away from the world. And it was only then when I made up my mind to get shut of the world that God in his grace brought before me John 3 and verse 15. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. We put our trust in that one who gave himself for us. From that day, what has our attitude been to the sufferings of Christ? Brethren and sisters, should we not all as believers have a deeper appreciation of what has been done for us at Calvary? And what about our brethren who have an exercise to care for God's people, to shepherd them? It is essential for them to have this experience that Peter had. We know that it was in the physical way that Peter beheld the Lord upon the cross. But I, in a spiritual way, can appreciate more and more what has been done for me when the Lord Jesus Christ was on that cross as the Good Shepherd. When he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? My brethren, don't we know that it was there that he was left of God, forsaken, as he was hanging there bearing the dreadful sins of the world and to endure that judgment that was due to us? I feel that each one of us should be entering into a deeper appreciation of that great work of the cross day by day. And those who guide the people of God should have a deeper appreciation of it, so that they will lead the lambs to those pastures green, that they too will enjoy those pastures beside the still waters appreciating the Lord. And one thing I'm sure of this, when we appreciate Him and appreciate Him more and more, there will be less desires for this wicked, sinful world. Further, he says, a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. What does the coming of the Lord mean to us? What does it mean to those who shepherd and care for God's people? It should mean a lot to them. These are precious truths that are being put to the one side day by day. They will tell us all sorts of things. They will tell us that there's no such a thing as us coming to there for the saints. Oh, they'll say, yes, there's going to be a day of manifestation, but terrible troubles will be in the world and the church will have to pass all through that before we're revealed with Him. But today, what do we look forward to? We look forward to the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of these days, we'll hear the call. Not so long ago, I thought I was waiting for death. But those moments of, what would I call them, of distress are past. I'm looking now for the coming of the Lord. And what a coming that will be. What will take place? Those who are in Christ, they're going to be caught up to meet Him in the air. First of all, those who are asleep, they'll be raised from their dark tombs, and we with them to go to meet the Lord in the air, to be forever with Himself. These great truths, brethren and sisters, should characterize us all. We should be waiting for Him. I don't think I should have a diary filled with engagements for months and months ahead. I cannot understand why people want certain folk for Bible readings have to engage them perhaps 2-3 years ahead before they can get them. I can't see how brethren like that could even be anticipating the soon coming of the Lord. You see how we're getting off the rails altogether. I learnt my lesson. The first time I got home, I was away down a little assembly where the saints met at Temple Tate. And the gospel meeting was held in Monaghan in the New Hall. And the gospel meeting that night, that Sunday evening, I enjoyed it. And the brethren, I remember a brother, Totten, asked me, he said, would you not stay on for some gospel meetings? I couldn't. Why? I had a wee book in my pocket. And you know, I thought it was wonderful to have it filled with engagements. Oh, for weeks and months ahead. And I couldn't do it. I learnt my lesson. That Sunday evening, in the town of Monaghan across the border, brethren, He's coming soon. And these truths should characterize the shepherds of the sheep. They should be taken up the great work of Calvary. They should be taken up with the soon coming again and leading the saints along these precious pathways that each one of us will appreciate more and more what has been done for us. And we'll appreciate, too, the fact that He's coming again and coming soon. Perhaps today. Perhaps we'll not see the Monday. Tomorrow never comes. Perhaps Monday will never come, so far as we are concerned. We'll hear the call. And what a wonderful call it would be to be caught up to meet Him in the air. Our brother Nesbitt was on Revelation. Isn't it a revelation of Jesus Christ? The very first verse of chapter 1 gives us the clue to the book, a revelation of Jesus Christ. As I read through that book, what do I look for? I look for Him, because He is revealed in that book. We have been taught there, and rightly so, about His character in chapter 1, and also as He is seen in through the seven churches. But look, there's one day we shall see Him as He is seen in chapter 4 and chapter 5. And what is that? We'll see Him yonder to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. There with the rainbow round about the throne, like unto an emerald. Isn't it wonderful to think that we shall be bowed before Him? All that we have received at the judgment seat of Christ will be cast at His feet. Everything will be for Him. There be those eternal songs sung unto Himself, the one who loved us and gave Himself for us. There's that scene in chapter 5, when He, in the midst of the throne, as the Lamb that has been freshly slain. On reading that, I can only think in this way in my own simplicity. We will never be allowed to forget what has us in the presence of God, that great sacrifice of the cross. Brethren and sisters, our thought should be taken up with Him day by day, and our brethren who shepherd the people should be leading us into those green pastures day by day. So, He said, feed the flock of God which is among you. What a tremendous responsibility. Over which, in chapter 20 of Acts, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. We know that there are usurpers today. I know one place, and there are men in responsibility. And how did they get into that place? I'll tell you. You come and take your father's place. The father had died. You come take your father's place. Was that person placed there by the Spirit of God? No. He was placed there by those brethren. And they usurped that authority. And they haven't got the ability nor the spirituality to lead God's beloved people into the pastures green. And what do you find? Nothing but chaos and trouble. Government has disappeared. There is nothing there that would indicate that it is an assembly of God. Brethren and sisters, these things are most serious today. And we must look at them. We must weigh them up. We must take hold of them and try to rectify them in accordance with God's truth. Feed the flock of God. Only those who have been appointed by the Spirit of God as shepherds among God's people can feed the saints and lead them on in the ways of the Lord. Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Not neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Isn't that a tremendous height to be examples to the flock? And as I say again, only those who have been appointed by the Spirit of God can be such. Now, very, very briefly, so far as these people are concerned, suppose I shouldn't say these people, these dear brethren who have responsibility in an assembly, how am I going to recognize them? First of all, I see the spirituality that there is. There is that devotion to the Lord and the great work that He did at Calvary. And further, there is His exercise as to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But further, there are moral qualities. There are moral qualities. And these qualities must be seen. They must be seen. We turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. It says a bishop. That is an overseer. What about, he must be blameless. And I would suggest this, that the one who has gotten over this hurdle of being blameless will have no trouble with what follows. No valid accusation can be made against that man. Oh, the world, yes. False things can be said. They did so against the Lord in Pilate's judgment hall. Paul, too, had to face the false accusers. Yes. But it was all false. So a man must be blameless. Must be blameless. The husband of one wife. I heard our brother Wamsley giving an explanation of this. I wouldn't try to quote him because I just can't remember exactly what he said. But he put it very well indeed. I'd like to be able to remember. I'll get it from him another time. Vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy, filthy looker, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Now this one. Not a novice. Not a novice. How could one be an elder in an assembly if he is a novice? How could one be an elder in an assembly if he's just a young fellow? How could he? An impossibility. We would need to take up all these words that give reference to the shepherds in the Word of God. And you will see that it is a mature person. Not a novice. Why? Lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. I know one. He's a novice. And he has authority in an assembly. And he took upon himself to tell a dear brother, one we esteem very highly for his work as an evangelist. One we esteem very highly for the godly living which he lives. That young fellow, a novice, had the audacity to tell that dear brother not to take part in the conference. What a hurt. We all felt for our brother. We were all hurt that such a thing should happen. Why? Simply this. There isn't the devotion to the Lord. There isn't the exercise as to the coming of the Lord. There isn't that maturity in the things of God. And when we find that, all we get is a decline. A decline in testimony. And we find those who would be godly frustrated in many ways. Brethren and sisters, it behoves us today to be in the place where we appreciate him and what he has done for us. And for the elders to have a deep appreciation of the Lord and all that he has done and all that he is doing for us now, and to lead us into those waters of peace, to those green pastures that we will be enabled by his grace to go on in his ways. I do trust that these few stammering remarks will be a help and will not take from what we have been listening to.